morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. This morning I was going to talk a little bit about the aspects of prayer, but first let's have a prayer before we start here. So, yes, Father in heaven, we just bow before you this morning, Lord. We come before you and just thank you for this blessing of gathering together here today, Lord, just to worship you, to learn more about you and your ways, Father. We just pray that you would give me peace, Father, and clarity of mind, that you would just, that it wouldn't be my words, Father, but that you would speak through me, and also for the listeners, Father, that we could all just apply this to our hearts and lives, Father, and just pray your will and your way over this day, Father, and we thank you for your many blessings, and we pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, so I was going to start out with a couple different aspects of prayer, kind of like different types of prayer that we can pray. I may just list them on the board. Start with the first one. Misspell a couple there, so bear with me. Okay, so the first one I'm going to talk about is our prayer of adoration and praise to God. The meaning of that, I guess, in plain words would be just worshiping God and giving him the honor and the glory that he deserves. I had a passage of scripture I was going to read for an example to go along with that in Psalms 145. Psalms 145, verses 1 through 4. I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. So yeah, I think that prayer is just, it's just our heartfelt worship and praise to God. Yeah, just simply put, that psalm put all the words that it needs there. So the next one I'm going to list here, a type of prayer, is a prayer of confession. And the definition I found for that is acknowledging and repenting of one's sin. And then there's a very familiar verse that goes along with that. I think we all know it. It's 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think that requires a heartfelt, what's the word I'm looking for? Just a earnest and sincere confession. It says acknowledging and repenting. So there's two things there that has to be done in order for that to work out. And then the next one I'm going to list here, I'm just going to kind of go through these things and then we kind of talk about them as we go here. The next one is a prayer of thanksgiving to God. That prayer consists of thanking God for all that he does and has done for us. Another verse for that is 1 Chronicles 16:34. I'll just read it here. You don't have to turn to it. It says, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. So We could probably sit here all day and fill that entire board up with things that we could give thanks to God for. So I'll just let you guys fill in the blanks on that one, because there's many, way too many to list. And then the next one is a prayer of intercession. That's not a good one for me there. I think I missed a C. Okay, so a prayer of intercession consists of praying on the behalf of other people and interceding for them, asking God to intervene in their situation, whatever that may be. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So that verse 2 there lists one of the examples we can pray for, the leaders of our land. And those that are in authority, says that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And then another example I thought of, or I had seen somewhere, it said that Jesus prayed an intercessory prayer on the cross when he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I believe that God is interceding for us daily, for all of our needs and trials and challenges that we may face. So, the next one is meditative prayer. Meditative prayer is a way of listening to God and enjoying time in His presence. Let's turn to Psalm 63 for that one. Psalm 63, verses 6 and 7. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. And the last two here, I had a hard time differentiating them and separating them, so I'm just going to list them together. I think they're very, very similar, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. It's prayers of supplication and petition. Sorry for my sloppy handwriting there. So I'm sure if you wanted to dive way deep into it and get technical about it, I'm sure there are some differences in those two words. But from what I was researching, it seemed like they were very, very similar. The definition I found for supplication or prayer of supplication is basically, well, let me do the petition one first. So a prayer petition, it is a clear and direct prayer asking God to fulfill a specific need or desire. And then a prayer of supplication is basically like a prayer petition asking for a specific need, but it may be in a more difficult or desperate situation. It's described as a petitioning prayer of one humbly seeking assistance from a higher power. And the word supplication comes from the Latin word supplicare, which means to plead humbly. So I had a couple of verses I was going to read with that one. One is in Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So the supplication for all saints, I believe that would be an intercessory prayer, praying for our brothers and sisters. And then the other verse I was going to read along with those two is Philippians 4, 6 through 7. These are all fairly familiar verses, so I'm sure some of you probably know exactly what they are already. So Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So those are it for the list that I'm going to write today. I think there's probably more types of prayers and stuff that there would be, but I think those are some of the main aspects of prayer. There is a devotional I was going to read that goes along with all this. Sometimes I feel like some of these people can put this stuff into better words than I can. So we'll read it here and then we'll talk a little bit about this. So it says, pray through the day. Let's modernize an old story. Well, how did you enjoy the minister's meeting you attended last week? Asked Mary, a young widowed mother of her pastor and his wife, who came to call on her. Very interesting. One of the liveliest discussions centered on the Bible commandment, pray without ceasing. Different ideas were presented, but no agreement was reached as to how we can actually apply this instruction from 1 Thessalonians 5:17. In fact, I'm to do research and report on what it means and how we can comply with it. Really, said Mary. Seems to me it is very easy to obey. Is that so? said the pastor, surprised. How do you understand it? How do you think it is possible to pray all the time? And do you think it is possible to pray all the time? Oh, yes, right through the day. But Mary, the pastor's wife, interjected, how can you, as a mother of four young children, be praying all the time? You have so many things to do. Actually, the more things I have to do, the more I can pray, Mary stated. Really? How can that be? All right, tell us how you do it, said the pastor. Okay, I'll explain how it works for me, agreed Mary. When I first open my eyes, I say, thanks, Lord, for this day. Open the eyes of my understanding. As I dress, I pray that I might be clothed with humility, wearing the robe of righteousness, and putting on the shoes reminds me to have my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. As I look at the clock, I pray, help me to be a good steward of my time, redeeming the hours to your glory. As I tiptoe downstairs and flip on the light, I pray, help me walk in the light. If I've stumbled into something, I'm reminded to ask, assist me to walk circumspectly. As I move around doing tasks for my family, I pray, help me to walk in love. After a moment of silence, the pastor rose to leave. Thanks, Mary. You've given me a lot to think about. I'm going to apply your method with a few adaptions to my rising time tomorrow. I've got an appointment shortly, so I must run, but I'm really glad I was able to drop in for a few minutes. We're coming back tomorrow to see how you engage in prayer for the rest of the day. And it continues. The next portion here is the rest of her day. It says, work and pray. Good morning, Mary, said her pastor. Yesterday you told us how you pray after waking up and preparing for the day. Did you try out some of the ideas, asked Mary. Yes, and it was a blessing. Could you explain how you pray without ceasing from breakfast on? Here are some examples, said Mary. When I take the meat from the freezer, I pray God to preserve me from all evil until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I'm pouring the milk, I'm reminded of the sincere milk of the Word, and I'll thank God for a particular Bible promise. As I feed my young children, I think of the Scriptures. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And I pray, fill my mouth, I'm open to your truth. When I'm vacuuming, I pray that my heart and life may be purged from all dirt and impurities. Whenever I adjust the thermostat, I ask God to make me a thermostat, affecting my environment rather than simply reflecting it as a thermometer. Ironing clothes sometimes seems like a thankless task, but it doesn't need to be a prayerless one. I often pray for the person whose clothes I'm ironing. And when I sit at my sewing machine, I pray to be like Dorcas, full of alms deeds and good works. For stains on the clothes, I use a spray spot remover, which reminds me to pray for unsaved neighbors and friends. I ask that God's spot remover, the blood of Christ, may be applied to those difficult stains. If I'm baking bread, I'm sure you see I have lots to think about spiritually. Driving the car prompts several prayer requests. Turning on the ignition switch, I pray that God would energize me by the power of the Holy Spirit. Steer me, O Lord, in the way that I should go. And besides, there are many things throughout the course of the day for which to breathe a word of thanks. Of course, you understand that my prayer varies somewhat depending on the activities and duties of the day. Yes, I see, returned the pastor. Well, Mary, I want to commend you for an active prayer life, and thanks, too, for what you've shared. You really have me thinking about how I can apply your approach to my day's activities. So, yeah, I was just thinking some of my own thoughts there was we often hear stories, other lands, missionaries way across the seas, whatever it may be, that are in really dangerous situations, and they pray, you know, they may be about to be killed by thieves or robbers, whatever it may be, and we've all heard the stories. You know, they pray, or someone's praying for them, and they're instantly and miraculously delivered from those situations. And those are really powerful, and it really encourages us, and it kind of puts a fire in us, I think. And it's good. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But I think we need to bring it down to our everyday lives, and we definitely have to have an active prayer life in our everyday, our boring everyday lives, I guess you would say. One story that it happened in my own life not too long ago, I'm sure some of you probably heard this story, so forgive me if you've heard it before. I may have even shared it here once, but we do forget. So we were trenching some lines at my house there, and of course, when you do that, you always hit something. So I just did it again yesterday, so... but no, we tried to repair this propane line, and it's a flare fitting, so you have to take a tool, and it has to be flared just perfectly so they can connect. And Tim was over there with me. We messed around with it and tried time and time again, probably 10 sometimes or more, and it just kept leaking, would not work. We could not get it to quit leaking, and we probably messed around for an hour or more. I don't even remember. And then finally, was kind of getting to our wits' end on it, and I thought, well, hey, we should probably have a prayer about this, because this is getting to be a pretty bad deal. And so we prayed right out there, and sure enough, first try, it didn't leak. Sprayed the solvent on it, and it never bubbled, nothing. So that was just a little example in my own life. We can pray about whatever it may be, whether it's a trial, challenge we're facing, it doesn't matter. God wants to hear from us all day long. So one lesson we can take from that little story is that we shouldn't wait to pray until we get to our last resort. We should pray as soon as we face a challenge or trial. We should be active and pray right away and not wait. So couple of other things I was thinking. What are some things that could hinder our prayers? I had one more thing I was going to read, and then I'll close here. Let's see here. It's called Hindrances to Prayer. When the people of Israel prayed, God didn't hear or answer their prayer. Why? Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear you. Isaiah 59:2. Clearly, sin is a great hindrance to answer prayer. If I practice sin, God won't answer prayer, even though my prayer is beautiful and eloquent. Sin cuts the line of communication. For example, when sinful Saul was threatened by the Philistine army, he was very afraid and wanted guidance from God. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not. In Samuel 28:6. Saul, instead of repenting, went deeper into sin and communicated with the familiar spirit at Endor. Instead of giving up sinning, he gave up praying. Second, selfishness is a hindrance. James 4:3 says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust." If we ask with the wrong spirit or a selfish motive, we won't receive. This doesn't mean we shouldn't ask for personal needs, health, food, finances, but remember that the chief purpose of prayer is to glorify God and advance His kingdom. There's a difference between asking God for a new job that offers more prestige and more pay and asking God for a better work environment with more witnessing opportunities. Often our prayers show mixed motives or a veiled concern for others, like, this is kind of humorous, I thought. There was a girl who reportedly prayed, "Lord, please send my mother a fine son-in-law." Third, stinginess hinders prayer. Proverbs 21:13 says, "Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he shall cry himself, but shall not be heard." A lack of love and generosity in the face of poverty acts as earplugs for the Lord. In contrast, 1 John 3:22 says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." This is in the context of helpfulness, of seeing a person in need of food and the necessities of life and having compassion. George Mueller was a mighty man of prayer, but he was also a generous man of giving. What he received of God never stuck to his fingers. A Christian shows what he is by what he does with what he has. So I think that is about all I have. I have a couple quotes here in closing that I found I thought were pretty powerful. It says, "To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. And it is better in prayer to have a heart without words than to have words without a heart." And I know for myself it's easy to let our prayers become a daily ritual and just be mundane and dead and not have our heart in it. So let's not grow weary, but let's put our whole hearts into it and honor and glorify God. So thank you for listening, and that is all I have. God bless. And Paul, you're welcome to erase that if you need the board. So.